Good afternoon, 4:30 and 62 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
We've got to move away from coal and all the other fossil fuels. But I don't want to move away from the people who did the best they could to produce the energy that we relied on.
Comments made by Hillary Clinton Sunday night during a town hall meeting in Ohio have stirred some controversy in coal country. A Winchester man is accused of manslaughter in connection with last Friday's fatal fire. And a murder trial begins in Ironton, Ohio. In sports, Moorhead State adds two assistant football coaches. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Showers this evening, low in the lower 50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. A 55-year-old Winchester man has pleaded innocent to charges of manslaughter in connection with last Friday's fatal fire at the B&P Apartments on Spring Mist Lane. Jackie Heisel entered the pleas following an arraignment in a Clark County court this afternoon. Heisel is accused of being intoxicated and smoking while he was using his oxygen tank, which investigators say triggered the blaze that took the lives of three people, including Heisel's son, Donald. Also killed were 29-year-old Tina Reynolds and 71-year-old Dixie Everman. Johnny Hill is a neighbor of Heisel's. He spoke with WLEX.
Everybody in this whole complex has told him, quit smoking around your oxygen. He did listen. It blew up.
Heisel is being held on $1 million bond. He's scheduled for a preliminary hearing on March 23rd. According to WSAZ, the murder trial of a 25-year-old South Point man began today in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court. Justin Wilson is accused in the January 2015 shooting of Justin Adams, also of South Point. Police say Adams was lured to a home in the 600 block of Township Road and was killed in a dispute over drugs. Kentucky State Police are probing an armed robbery at a gas station in Boyd County Saturday night. Troopers say a man walked into a Marathon station in Rush around 8:40, showed the clerk a gun, and demanded money. They say no one was hurt. The thief made off with an undetermined amount of cash. Former President Clinton made a surprise visit to Portsmouth Saturday to campaign for his wife Hillary ahead of tomorrow's Democratic presidential primary in Ohio. Clinton shook hands with local residents and spoke briefly with WCHS-TV.
One of the things I want to do is to make sure that this time our economy includes the places that have been left out and left behind.
Such as Portsmouth.
Such as Portsmouth and rural America and especially old country and the areas around it.
The ex-president also campaigned for Mrs. Clinton in Cincinnati, Akron, and Toledo. A poll taken by CBS News March 9th through the 11th shows Clinton with a 9-point lead over Bernie Sanders in Ohio. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton says she has a plan for helping struggling communities whose economies are dependent on the coal industry. Clinton spoke Sunday night at a town hall meeting in Ohio, sponsored by CNN.
I'm the only candidate which has a policy about how to bring economic opportunity using clean, renewable energy as the key into coal country, because we're going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business, and we're going to make it clear that we don't want to forget those people.
Clinton says now that the country is moving away from fossil fuels, it can't forget the people who labored in the mines for generations so that others could have the electricity they need. U.S. Senator Rand Paul says Hillary Clinton's pledge to help struggling coal communities is an admission that the Democrats' energy plans leave coal out of the picture. The Kentucky Republican claims Clinton doesn't really understand the nature of the problem.
Everybody's understood this to be their policy, but now she's explicitly stated that they're going to put what is left of the coal industry out of business. You know, we need to help those people. If you don't help them by putting them on some sort of welfare reservation, we help them by giving them good, meaningful jobs.
Paul says counties like Magoffin already have double-digit unemployment rates, and Clinton's proposals won't sit too well in those communities. He made his comments during an interview with the Kentucky News Network. Well, the polls open at 6:30 tomorrow morning in Ohio as voters choose their nominees for president. Recent polling shows current Ohio Governor John Kasich with a slight lead over Donald Trump in the Republican contest. Both men campaigned in the Buckeye State over the weekend. Trump told supporters in Dayton that no one should feel confident with Kasich at the helm.
He was the managing director of Lehman Brothers, which was one of the great catastrophes in the history of this world. Lehman Brothers failed and almost brought down the world, if you remember. And Kasich was a managing director. He was right in there dealing with all the big boys, all of the people that made these horrible decisions at Lehman.
Kasich spoke at rallies in Mansfield and Strongsville. He said he hopes that he's brought some civility to the race.
I want you to know I will never take the low road to the highest office in the land. I will run a positive campaign, and I will never create a toxic atmosphere where people show up at political events and fight with one another.
Many political analysts believe Kasich's hopes of winning the GOP nomination will die unless he wins Ohio. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is hoping to score an upset victory in Tuesday's Ohio primary, similar to the win he posted in Michigan last week. The Vermont senator struck a populist tone Sunday at the Ohio Democrats' legacy dinner in Columbus. He says the middle class is being severely shortchanged in the current economy.
It is not acceptable to me and to the American people that the top one-tenth of 1% now owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%.
The polls are open in Ohio until 7:30 tomorrow night. Minority Leader Jeff Hoover admits he's disappointed that Republicans won just one of the four special Kentucky House elections last week. However, Hoover says his party has its sights set on the fall. He spoke on KET.
What's important to remember in the four districts, three of them heavily favored Democrats by registration. The one did not. That was the Casey and Boyle County seat, and we won that seat. Daniel Elliott did a tremendous job there and won that election. That was the only one out of the four that was favored Republican by party registration.
Democrats now have a 53-47 advantage in the House. Had the Republicans won all four seats last Tuesday, there would have been a 50-50 split. Governor Matt Bevin has appointed a new magistrate for the 2nd District of Martin County. Elizabeth Hernandez reports.
Kenny McCoy Jr. is a graduate of Sheldon Clark High School and attended Morehead State University. He replaces Gary Hunt, who passed away in February. McCoy is a resident of Inez and has worked as an automotive sales manager for 26 years. He'll serve until a special election is held this November to fulfill Hunt's unexpired term. The term ends December 31st, 2018. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Elizabeth Hernandez.
State Representative Rocky Adkins of Morehead says the House will put more money into education than Governor Bevin called for in his two-year state budget plan. The Democrat and House Majority Leader says the House intends to restore funding Bevin took away from education at every level.
I can tell you that when that state budget comes out of committee and it comes to the House floor to be voted on, I'm going to tell you where Rocky Adkins is. I'm for restoring the cuts to education and especially to the Family Resource Youth Service Center.
Adkins was speaking at a rally in Frankfort last week in support of family resource centers within Kentucky's public school districts. The Big Sandy Community and Technical College will launch the state's first broadband technology program this fall. The new associate degree program, the third of its kind in the nation, is designed to train workers as the state moves to expand broadband across Kentucky in an attempt to revive the floundering Appalachian economy. The Kentucky Community and Technical College's Board of Regents green-lighted the program Friday. It will prepare students to work in installing and splicing fiber optic cable, maintenance, pole climbing, and electrical construction. A proposed library tax will be making its way onto the agenda for the Carter County Fiscal Court's regular meeting. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has more.
The Ashland Independent has reported the petition for a 2-cent tax has been circulating around the county for a few months now. The library receives $18,000 from the county and both state governments, but Director Nellie Middleton says the library cannot offer all of its services on that budget alone. Their summer reading program had to be scratched last year due to the lack of funds, but is back again thanks to private donations for this summer. The fiscal court can either vote the tax in today at their meeting or can place a proposal on the general election ballot. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
An official with the Kentucky Oil and Gas Association says the industry is being maligned unfairly because of problems with radioactive waste at landfills in Estill and Greenup counties. Bill Barr chairs the organization's Government Affairs Committee. He told a House committee last week that the naturally occurring radioactive waste that was dumped illegally at both sites was the work of an out-of-state company.
Not only does Eastern Kentucky take a black eye over these types of incidences, but the Kentucky Oil and Gas Association and its membership, which were not associated nor in any way involved in this incident, are being looked upon as villains, if you will.
Barr says the practices of the company involved are not supported or condoned by the Kentucky Oil and Gas Association. He says his group wants regulations on waste disposal modernized and strengthened to prevent similar incidents in the future. Ashland City Engineer Ryan Eastwood is always glad to see winter end because those cold weather months are when many of the breaks to the city's water lines occur. However, this year, says Eastwood, the system braved the elements pretty well. He says upgrades to Ashland's water plant in 2015 boosted its production capacity and kept water flowing even when pipes burst.
That plant has really made a remarkable difference. We still tend to have more water breaks in the winter, and we're always going to. We tend to have about 200 plus or minus breaks a year. 200 plus or minus is a pretty average for us. I just keep track of them. In January, we might end up having 30 or 40.
For the past 2 years, Ashland's aging water system experienced numerous line ruptures and service was temporarily cut off to some parts of town. However, Eastwood says it was a different story this winter. Ashland City Commissioners are likely to begin using the Consumer Price Index once again to set annual water and sewer rates. The city had used the CPI for many years, but decided to suspend the practice while an independent consultant reviewed Ashland's charges for those services. Commissioner Larry Brown agrees with the consultant's recommendation that the city return to the CPI. He says that should keep water and sewer services financially stable, while attention turns to stopping leaks in the water system. Brown says that might cost a little more on the front end, but it'll enable more efficient distribution of water, and that'll result in long-term savings.
It's going to be costly, but what we've done in the water department is we've designated a crew that actually does that only. They're looking for leaks and repairing leaks every day, 5 days a week.
If Ashland uses the current CPI to adjust its rates, water and sewer charges would rise 3.6%. And finally, this afternoon, the last two men from outside the area who held the position of Ashland City Manager both resigned after fairly short terms in office. Randy Robertson came from New Mexico and quit in 2007 after 8 months on the job. Benjamin Bitter was hired in 2013 after working in Arizona, and he quit in February. Even so, Ashland Vice Mayor Kevin Gunderson doesn't think candidates from other parts of the country will be discouraged from applying for the city's top administrative post. He expects commissioners will be taking applications from internal and external candidates.
Well, I'm wide open. I think we paint with a wide brush. We want the best person for the job that we can get. But in the meanwhile, we're in very competent hands of our young city attorney, Richard Martin, who's about 71 years old. And he acts like a spring chicken the way he works 10 and 12 hours a day.
Commissioners in late February hired former city attorney Sonny Martin as interim manager. they don't plan to select a new manager until after the November election. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, then isolated showers late, lows in the lower 50s, the chance of rain is 50%. Tuesday, warm, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s, and Tuesday night, look for mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-50s. Around the region, it is 73 degrees in Ashland, 66 in Flemingsburg, 71 in Inez. In Lexington, 67 degrees, 66 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, 62 degrees. 446, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, the Kentucky State Police and Hazard have partnered with a surprising organization to help local veterans. MSPR's Ashley Chapman has more.
Veterans and police have had a long relationship, and now the Kentucky State Police and Hazard have partnered with the Kentucky River Area Quilt Makers to give back. Local quilt makers have begun making lap quilts for the veterans who reside in the Eastern Kentucky Veterans Center in Hazard. KSP Post 13 Public Relations Officer Jody Sims says the operation was the brainchild of Audrey Combs, the mother of KSP Officer Glenn Combs.
Audrey came to us with the idea of knowing that we were looking for a way to help veterans. They have their quilts that they provide for them, with a way that we could assist some of the quilt makers by going out and picking up quilts when they completed them.
Sims says that the skill of the Kentucky River Area Quilt Makers is apparent in the quality of their work.
Kentucky River Area Quilt Makers group that is comprised of mainly older ladies who have a skill and a talent with quilt making, and they have been out doing some things at some quilt shows. The abilities of these ladies in this area were kind of obvious that they had just some noticeably more talent than some of the quilts they were seeing made.
The quilts can be dropped off at any Kentucky State Police post in eastern Kentucky, and the officers will deliver them to Post 13. Sims says the drive gives law enforcement a chance to change the image that they present to the public.
Allows opportunities for patrol in those areas with the hopes of providing maybe a sense of security, crime deterrence, and being able to cultivate some new friendships and contacts, especially in this time with oftentimes there's been some negative outlooks or views of law enforcement throughout our nation, and it's a time for us to get back to letting people know that we're here for help and not for adverse issues or reasons.
The KSP and the Kentucky River Area Quilt Makers will be accepting quilts throughout the month of March and encourage quilters with a talent for the craft to give back to those who have served our country. For more information, contact your local KSP post. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Ashley Chapman.
448, All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock and sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Eagles shore up on defensive assistance. Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Michael Gustin. The Morehead State football team has added two assistant coaches to its defensive side of the ball. Dominique Battle played football from 2008 to 2012 at the University of Cincinnati and will take over as the cornerback's coach. Patrick Hill comes from Farum College in Virginia and will mentor the defensive backs. Head coach Rob Tenier thinks they will mold well with his staff.
I think they'll go well with Coach Moore and Coach Perrin over there on defense and Coach Mueller and excited. We know we got to be better at defending the run, so whoever we hired in that position was an important hire for us in regards to Patrick, and pretty excited about it.
The Eagles are slated to start spring practice this week.
For the National Football League, the Baltimore Ravens have agreed to terms with former Charger safety Eric Weddle. The Ravens locked him up for 4 years worth $26 million. Also, the Oakland Raiders have added linebacker Darren Bates, and Steelers wide receiver Martavis Bryant has been suspended for the 2016 season for violating the league's substance abuse policy. The Morehead State baseball team is gearing up for Tuesday's road matchup with Marshall. Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles are coming fresh off a three-game sweep over Tennessee Tech this weekend and have won six in a row. McGuire knows how important it is to get wins early in the week in order to stay good in good form for weekend series.
You're back at it. We're at Marshall on Tuesday, and we want to keep the momentum. I think the midweek games are important. You want to go into the weekend with momentum, and you do that by winning.
The Eagles are 12-3 on the season. Also from MSU baseball, starting pitcher Matt Anderson was tabbed OVC Pitcher of the Week with his performance over the weekend against Tennessee Tech. Anderson struck out a career-high 16 batters in 7 innings of work Saturday. The McDonough, Georgia native leads the conference with a 4-0 record and is second with a 1.48 ERA and 41 strikeouts. The Cincinnati Reds are in Cactus League action this afternoon. Currently in the bottom of the second, the Reds are tied 1-1 with the Los Angeles Angels. Cincy's Raisel Iglesias is on the hill, making his spring debut. He's allowed one run on 2 hits. Also from Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles had catcher Matt Wieters go under an MRI this morning on his right elbow. Wieters had Tommy John surgery last June on the same elbow. And with St. Louis Cardinals starting shortstop Johnny Peralta on the disabled list to start the season, the Cards are looking for Jed Jerko to fill the void on opening day. The number one overall seed in this year's NCAA tournament belongs to Kansas. The 30-4 Jayhawks capped off the season with an 81-71 victory over West Virginia in the Big 12 championship. Bill Self's team is the top dog in the South bracket. He understands that the tournament creates a level playing field for everyone involved.
It'd be kind of like having a stellar high school career, and it's over. But when you get to college, you got to start all over again and go compete, and this is a fresh start. Tournament's a fresh start.
The tournament officially gets underway tomorrow in Dayton, Ohio. The Kentucky basketball team is gearing up for its first round NCAA tournament matchup with Stony Brook Thursday night. The Wildcats took care of business in Nashville, defeating Texas A&M 82-77 in the SEC championship yesterday. As a 4 seed in the Big Dance, the Big Blue will have its hands full, with teams like Indiana and North Carolina being featured in the East region. Kentucky big man Alex Poitras is confident in his team, especially when he knows he has a great point guard leading the way in Tyler Ulis.
He just controls the game so well, and he makes the right pass, never makes a mistake out there.
Despite Sunday's loss, Texas A&M drew a 3 seed in the field. The Morehead State men's basketball team is preparing for postseason action tomorrow night against Siena in the College Basketball Invitational. The Eagles were defeated at the hands of UT Martin in the semifinals of the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament, eliminating any hopes of making the Big Dance. Senior big man Anthony Alici says it's important to continue to build upon the team's success this season and try to reach the 20-win marker.
Definitely 20 wins, definitely. That's big. It's a huge number. That's something we're definitely looking forward to. Hopefully come out and get whoever tournament we go to, just come out and keep playing.
Tomorrow night's winner will go on to play either Duquesne or Omaha on Monday, March 21st. And finally, in sports today, in the upcoming NHL playoffs, cameras will be installed on the blue lines to help aid officials in offsides calls. Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations Colin Campbell says the tweak should lead to more consistency and give officials another angle to review if an offside call is challenged following a goal. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle softball hosts Toledo for a doubleheader Wednesday, with the first game set at 2 p.m. Tickets available from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Lions. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mixed in low volume, mostly shaking off a decline in oil prices ahead of the Federal Reserve's meeting later in the week, and the Dow Industrials did manage a narrow gain of 15.82 at 17,229.13. The S&P 500 was down 2.55 at 2019.64, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 1.81 at 4750.28. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. crude oil futures settled down $1.32 at $37.18 a barrel after briefly dipping below 37 earlier in the session. Energy and materials were your weakest S&P sectors, and consumer discretionary was the top advancer. And within consumer discretionary, Starwood Hotels and Resorts gained almost 8% after that firm said it received an unsolicited acquisition proposal for $76 a share. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Boeing, which was up 1.38%, and Nike, which was up 1.5%, and Pfizer was down 1.3% to head the losers, and Intel was also down 1%. Among NASDAQ stocks, Google was up 0.75%, and Netflix was up 0.5%, and biotechs were strong again today as the Spider S&P Biotech ETF was up 1.15%. Overnight, in Asia, equities closed higher with the Nikkei 225 and Shanghai Composite both up more than 1.7%, and in Europe, stocks closed higher off of session highs despite declines in oil prices. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.22 at $102.58, CSX up 8 cents at $26.18, AEP down 2 cents at $64.21, AK Steel up a penny at $4.02, Marathon Petroleum down 69 cents at $37.03, and Community Trust Bank was down 48 cents to finish at $34.50. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9536.
And here's a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Fleming, Carter, and Greenup. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers in the evening, then isolated showers late, low in the lower 50s, the chance of rain is 50%. Tuesday, warm, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-50s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. And then on Wednesday night, look for mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s. Around the region, 73 degrees in Ashland. It's 66 in Flemingsburg, 71 in Inez, 67 in Lexington, 66 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 62 degrees. And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, Sean Delaney, Ellen Barnett, Ashley Chapman, and Elizabeth Hernandez. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.